Welcome to Let's Talk About Tests Baby, a weekly podcast about software testing, QA processes, agile, and other general geekery. My name's Jem Hill, and I'll be your host. Hello listeners, welcome to episode 51, and today I want to talk about test data and cleaning up after yourself. If you follow soccer / football news, you may know that last month, the last match of the season at Old Trafford was cancelled. It had to be put back because someone found a suspicious package in a toilet. A controlled explosion went off after the match was cancelled and everyone was evacuated out. And then it came to light that the suspicious package had been left behind after a training exercise, and it was actually a training device. Now, I can think of at least 3 points of failure at this point, because the training people should have counted the devices in and out when they were putting them in random places around the stadium. The people being trained didn't find it, and any other staff, cleaners, whoever, who went into those toilets between the training and the match also missed it. So there's at least 3 points of failure there, because a member of the public found it before the match. And it happened on the last day of the season, where all matches are meant to go at the same time, so people don't know where they're going to go and the results of one match can't affect another one and stuff like that. So it's pretty much the worst time that this could have happened. It was a clusterfuck, and it was a clusterfuck that reminded me of the importance of tidying up after yourself and being careful with data when you are testing. As I've said before, I'm a web tester. I work in an agency where we build websites, mostly using Drupal and Magento, and we always silo the test environments away from the client. We have an internal test environment, and we have a stage environment, which is the one that the client has access to. The stage environment is where UAT happens, and possibly content population prior to go live, depending on the setup that we have. Sometimes we have a pre-prod environment for that. And that's where the client, we say, this is yours, you go play with it. Get used to the site, get used to the functionality, stuff like that, because you're going to have to use it going forward, and at least anything that you do on here won't be seen by users, it won't be live, it will just be on the stage site, so you may as well have a play and get used to everything. The test site is solely for internal use, so it's for me to do my testing, and it's a bit of a playground. There's some stuff that occasionally goes up there where the devs aren't sure if it's going to work, or if there's issues with the automated tests, and if the devs can't quite figure out where the fail is, they might put the code on the test side without any automated test running, just so they can see exactly where the issues are so they can fix them that way. And it's just a playground. We don't have to worry because the client can't see it. It's all internal. We are all still careful with what content goes on there. Example content, at the very least, is just bog standard lorem ipsum. Occasionally we'll grab some live content if it makes sense to do so. If there's a specific structure to the content that we're working with, we'll just get some live content. Or we'll make example content that fits the context of the site. I mean, that's more often to go on the stage site than the dev site, but if it's there and it makes sense to do so, we will. It's more important on the stage site in a way, because a client looking at what is essentially a bare site, because obviously iterative development processes, a lot of the stuff doesn't get there to the end, and looking at a bare site with lorem ipsum content is, it just doesn't work very well, because the client's not looking at the actual site and the usability. They're looking at, well, there's this content that doesn't make any sense. And so sometimes having live content on there, and if there's anything specific content wise that we need to look at or incorporate into the new project, it makes it a lot easier if they can see that that's there. You will note that I said content and not data there, and I said that very specifically for a reason, because you've got to be careful with data. If you need to use live data to test something, and the live data is customer details, then potentially you've got some legal issues to contend with. I mean, if you're using information that has been used by payments, you've got the PCI DSS, which is the Payment Card Industry Data Security Standard, to comply with. And that's a pain in the ass. For my brief interactions with the PCI, it is a bit of a pain in the ass. And they don't care whether it's a test environment or a live environment. They will make you comply no matter what. I mean, you shouldn't be pulling down credit card information anyway, to be fair, but it depends on how you're pulling data down and what you're doing. if you're using customer data that isn't credit card information, but it's still personal data, then you've got, at least in the UK, you've got the UK Data Protection Act to deal with, which states that you have to tell people upfront specifically why you want to collect their data and what you plan to do with it. So unless you've told people who have given you that data that you're going to use it for testing, you can't do that. The law sees no difference between live and test environments when it comes to data protection and breaches of privacy. And according to one source I found, and this hasn't been corroborated at all, 70% of data breaches are inside jobs, whether malicious or not. So if you do need to work with live data on a test environment or for testing in some way, you have to be careful. Because sometimes you do need live data in order to get the job done, whether that be finding a bug or load testing. You can mask and anonymize data, you know, scrub the sensitive bits out, and that will take a lot of those issues out of the way. But if you need the details in order to find the bug that you're after, then you've got an issue there. That method could remove all usefulness from that data. The easier option is to generate data, and this can be automated. The issue is that sometimes context and relevance isn't possible in automatically generating content and data. It's just going to be whatever fits in those gaps. So it may not be useful for the purpose you need it for. I also have no idea what the laws are outside the UK, to be honest with you, so it might be different there. Who knows? In the UK, you can make sure your test environment's up to scratch privacy-wise and add a clause in your terms and conditions to mention testing using data, so people know if they're signing up that you might end up having to use the data. Or you can do what the majority of companies seem to do and just use the data and hope for the best, which isn't the best plan. Let's talk about TestBaby does not endorse that plan. Okay. I assume that most companies have something in place if they need to deal with sensitive information. We often don't have to deal with that kind of information, so it's not something I've really encountered, because most of the time we're dealing with content, and that's fine, not so much user, like actual customer user data. But when I was researching, there were a lot of people asking questions, and a lot of people just going, generate it or scrub it, I guess, and that was kind of it. There wasn't a definitive sort of, this is how we do what we do, all that kind of stuff. But feel free to tell me your strategies, I'll be happy to hear them. Tell me them on Skype and I'll put them out next episode. Let's talk about tests on Skype, do that. But going back to test data, and when we are using test data, how we can make sure that doesn't screw up anything too much. I think that as testers, we should adhere to a set of ethics called Leave No Trace. They apply to going out and camping in national parks and other wilderness, but we can make it work for test data, okay? Number one, plan ahead and prepare. We do this anyway. We always have a plan before we go out and test something. We can plan out, if we need to, what inputs we need and if we do need any specific data or content before we go out and test something, so we can arrange getting that data and content and how we're going to deal with that afterwards if we need to. Number two, travel and camp on durable surfaces. Check your environments are okay and ready for testing. There is nothing worse than going to test something and then realizing that the environment is still in use by the developers who are deploying, or someone else is testing it, and you just trip over each other. Check your devices and browsers are up to date. Check you've got no artifacts hanging around from testing another story. As in my case more than once, wondering why the site looks so weird and then realising that I still have JavaScript switched off from the last story I was testing. So it's always good to check these things. Number three, dispose of waste properly. Tidy up after yourself. Don't leave stuff lying about. If you need to put a load of invalid data in, clear it out. Alright, you might not cause a bomb scare if you leave it lying around, but it still might be inconvenient for people. Or maybe you will. I don't know your life, people. Number four, leave what you find. Don't delete stuff unless you know you can delete it. If you found a bug, maybe leave that data there, because all that content there, because it's easier to review a bug if you don't have to, if you can see it. But for the most part, you can just tidy it away. I mean, if it's our internal test environment, I won't bother deleting data because I know it'll be on a trash and rebuild, so next deployment, it'll all be deleted anyway. If it's on the stage site, where that often isn't done, I'll just delete stuff just because it's so much easier. Number five, minimise campfire impacts. Starting to stretch it a bit now, as you can tell. But this is the way I say this is just, if you are going to put a load of stuff to load test it, or security test something, or something that involves trying specifically to break the site in some way, just let people know. Because if they know it's coming, then they won't freak out when you take down a site because you've thrown a load of stuff at it. Number 6, respect wildlife. I don't really have much for that, but I guess if you have to test on production, don't change anything that might fuck everything up. And make sure that you don't like mess with content that's there or data that's there. Just add stuff as much as you can. Revert any changes you do have to make. Just keep everything neat. Number 7, be considerate of other visitors. I don't often test at the same time as other testers or other users, but when we do, we kind of let each other know what's going on and what our plans are, and collaborate if it's another tester to ensure that we don't trip up over each other while testing things. I try to make it as obvious as possible that I'm making test data and who I am, so that, first of all, my changes are respected, like no one gets rid of my changes, they realise that I'm doing something, and secondly, I know I'm just in my area and I'm not touching anything of theirs. If I do have to do something on live or on stage, I try to either keep it as inconspicuous as possible and not actually publish anything but view if possible without publishing. And I ensure that the username that I'm using and the content all scream, "This is a test, testing, I am currently testing." We also inform people beforehand so everyone knows what to expect. It's quite rare for my line of work, as I'm more often testing things that haven't gone live yet, so I can't really speak to the best techniques to use here. It's something that I've never really considered before outside of the basics, so I'm actually really thankful for the 3 levels of fuckery that inspired this episode, as it's surprisingly interesting and it's been a lot of fun to record. I would love to hear strategies from people who do have to do this, if you do ever have to do testing in production, and if you do maybe work in a regulated industry like healthcare or finance, and how you deal with this sort of having to use this kind of data to test things. All the information to contact us, all the show notes, are on letstalkabouttests.xyz. We are on Skype, Let's Talk About Tests, Twitter at Let's Talk Tests. letstalkabouttests@gmail.com is the email address. Please do get in touch, and I will see you in 2 weeks' time. Bye. We'll be right back.